Good morning. Greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be here this morning. It's a special service, like was already mentioned, and looking forward to and excited about three new believers joining the church. Special also to me to have a daughter become baptized, and this is a special event. So for a message this morning, I'd like to talk about commitment to Christ. And I don't have a real clear outline. It's maybe just a journey of thoughts that came to me. I'd like to share. And when you became a Christian, you made a commitment to follow Christ. You committed your life to loving him, to doing what he wants you to do. And then when you became baptized, you seal that commitment. You reaffirm your love in Christ, and you state publicly that this is what you want to do. This is who you want to be. And you want to follow Christ. It's also making a commitment to the church to... you're voluntarily placing yourself under the care, under the direction of the church, and you become a member. You become a part of the body of Christ. You're now accountable to the church for your life, and it's an important part of the Christian life to become baptized. You know, there are many commitments that we make in life. Many things that we can commit to. You start a new job. You commit to going to work. You commit to showing up, to doing what your boss wants you to do. You're committed if you want to keep that job. If you buy a puppy, you have to commit to feeding and watering, taking responsibility to make sure it stays alive. And you commit to training it so that when it gets bigger, it does what you want it to do. Also, if you have a garden, you have to commit to taking care of it, to pulling the weeds, to making sure the plants don't die, watering it. If you're married, it takes commitment, it takes effort to live together harmoniously, to work together. Raising children is a commitment. It takes effort, diligence to raise them for God. Building a house takes commitment, and it's a lot of work involved. There were times when I was working at the drain plumbing where I wanted to give up. And is this worth it? But you need to commit and keep going on. Anything worth doing requires commitment. Think about that. Anything worth doing requires commitment. And if it requires commitment, you can count on it that your commitment will be tested. That's what commitment is. It's a commitment. It's a promise that you will keep. Dedication to keep on going, even when the going gets rough. You know, if the Christian life were if life were easy, you wouldn't really need commitment. If the weeds in the garden wouldn't grow, if the puppy could take care of itself, if marriage were all a bed of roses, if there were no problems in plumbing, we wouldn't need commitment. But that's not how God made us. Without commitments, we would not grow. We would not learn. We would not experience the blessings and rewards of fulfilled commitments. There's blessing in sticking with a commitment and being fulfilled by it. We would become lazy. We would become apathetic. Have no need, no dependence on Christ, no need for that. But God did not make us as robotic servants. He made us with a free choice that we can choose to follow him or not. And God wants to know if our faith, if our commitment are real. He wants Christians that are committed to following him even when the going gets rough, even when we get tired, even when we feel like giving up. Even when someone irritates us or rubs us the wrong way, he wants us to be committed. Will I be faithful and remember my commitment to Christ and be loyal to him, or will I forget my commitment? Will I give in to compromise? Oh, it's not a big deal. It's too much work, too much pain, and fail and walk away from my commitment. As TJ already said, that this commitment that you make this morning, that you make to Christ and to the church, is the most important, the most valuable commitment and decision that you can make in life. Quote by Phillips Brooks says, "It does not take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men." That's what commitment is. It's consecration, dedication, devotion. Are you devoted to God? You know, when you're devoted to something, you give yourself fully to that. You love it. You're not against it, but you will do anything for it. You will even die for it, as there are many stories about. But you can also be devoted to the wrong things as well. You think about the men who hijacked the airliners on 9/11. They were committed. They were devoted men. But they were devoted to the wrong thing. Where's my devotion? Where's my love? Am I devoted to the right things, the things of God? Am I committed to Christ? I'd like to look at some examples of commitment. There are many, many examples. The Bible gives us people who kept their commitments in difficult circumstances. Usually there was always risk. There was always hardship involved. Think of Noah. Noah, he kept his commitment. He built this gigantic ark in the middle of dry land where there was not even a puddle around, and it never rained before. He endured mockery of his neighbors, people around him. No one joined him besides his family in the ark when he was finished. But he believed God despite feelings of doubt and ridicule of others, and he kept his commitment. Abraham was committed to God. Even when God asked him to offer his son Isaac, he followed through. He didn't turn back. He kept going. He was fully committed until the angel stopped him when he was ready to slay his son. He had his sword drawn. Commitment. Queen Esther, she was committed to her people and used her position to go to the king at the risk of losing her life. She didn't know if the king would accept her or not, but she was committed, went to the king, and God saved her people. Daniel was committed to God. He prayed 3 times a day, and even when there was a law passed that they were not supposed to, and if you did, you were going to be thrown in the lion's den, he still did it. He committed. How much commitment would that take? It would take a lot. Think about the 3 Hebrew boys. They were committed when they were asked to bow down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar made. Multiple times they were asked, just bow down. Look at this furnace that you're going to be thrown into. They knew the consequence, but they did not bow. They remained firm, totally committed to their God. Would I be able to stand under that pressure? Would you? Mary, she was devoted, committed to Christ, to Jesus, when she anointed his feet. She spent a year's worth of her wages for the ointment to anoint Jesus' feet. It was love, it was commitment, sacrifice. Then you think of Jesus. He was committed when God sent him from perfect heaven to this earth. He knew what he was going to face. He knew the plan that God had. He knew the cross that was coming. He knew the awful death that he would have to go through. And then he endured the pain. He felt the nails. He felt the crown of thorns on his head. He felt the beatings. He endured the mockery. And he could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him from all that, but he didn't. He chose commitment to his Father's plan, the plan of salvation for you and for me. There are many other characters in the Bible that were committed men and women. You think of Joshua, Ruth, David, many more. Also, there are other commitments beyond just the Bible accounts. You think of, TJ mentioned this already, but 500 years ago, the Anabaptist movement, men stood up for their faith. They believed the promise of God. They loved him more than they feared the threats of man. 10 years ago, it's a group of Islamic militant group called ISIS, and they uploaded a video to the world of 21 Christians being marched along the Libyan beach by their captors, and the men were given one last chance to renounce their faith before they were beheaded. The method of their execution is not how the families of those men were remembered. They were remembered as men who refused to deny their faith, who became obedient to death. They were committed to Christ. Also, here's another moving testimony of a committed, passionate martyr for Jesus that was found after he was killed in a country in Africa. They found this among his stuff, and it says, "I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, honored, praised, or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by the Holy Spirit's power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, and my companions few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he does come for his own, he'll have no problems knowing me." It's a real commitment. Not everyone is called to die for their faith, but all are called to live it courageously and with commitment to Christ. Every believer is called to fulfill their God-given purpose, whether in life or in death. And I have no doubt that being persecuted or being having to die for your faith would take real commitment. I have no doubt about that. But I also happen to know that peace, prosperity, ease of our feel-good culture that we live in also takes a very strong commitment to Christ, to live a life of obedience without compromise. You know, Satan is out to destroy every believer and his faith in God. And he will do whatever he can, whatever way he can, to make you turn away, make you turn back from your commitment to Christ and your relationship with him. But keep your commitment strong. Keep your faith strong in Christ. Keep your relationship alive and growing. And trust in his promises that he will keep you grounded and your faith full in him. Now, just a couple scriptures of commitment I'd like to read. You can turn to 2 Timothy 1. This is the verse that got me thinking about commitment. Second Timothy 1 and verse 12. This is Paul talking. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Here Paul was not ashamed of his commitment. He knew who he believed. He was not confused, but he was secure. He was convinced that what he believed in was true. Nothing was going to shatter his commitment to Christ. And he gives some counsel to hold fast in the faith and love, and to keep that good thing which was given unto you. That good thing is the message of the gospel. Redeeming loved, keep it by the Holy Spirit within you. Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Total commitment is required. You cannot be 80%. You cannot be 95%. God requires 100% of love and devotion to him. You cannot have a divided loyalty. Can't hold back part of your heart for something else, but your whole heart needs to be for God. Then God is also calling us to love others as ourselves. Another commitment that we need to make as Christians, sometimes a difficult task, takes the giving up of self and the sacrificial love of Christ working in our hearts to accomplish that. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Here we have commitment that has conditions. There are things that we need to do. And then there's also rewards for faithfulness. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verses 5-7. Very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It's a foundation for commitment right there. Commitment to God means that you will trust him to lead you, to allow him to do what is best for you. You know, God has your best interest in mind. He's trying to make you, trying to shape you into something beautiful. And commitment to Christ allows him to do that. Whatever that may be, whatever that may look like. Continue to surrender. Continue to yield your heart to him, and your commitment to Christ will grow and produce fruit in God's kingdom. May God bless you, Darren and Heidi and Kylie, as you take this step in commitment to Christ. And may each one of us think about our commitment, those of us that are Christians, think about the commitments that we have made. And let's renew our commitment that we have made. And those of you who have not made a commitment to Christ yet and are counting the cost, I just want to encourage you to do that. Give your life to Christ. It's a life worth living. Let's kneel for prayer.